Monster Energy. Everybody knows White Monster, Zero Ultra. That's the OG. It kicked off this whole zero sugar energy drink thing. But Ultra is a whole lineup now. You've got Strawberry Dreams, Blue Hawaiian, Sunrise, and Vice Guava. And they all bring the Monster Energy punch. So if you've been living in the white can, branch out. Ultra's got a flavor for every vibe. And every single one is zero sugar. Tap the banner to learn more.
Back. It is another episode of Inside Boxing Live. It's Dan Canobio and the champ, Chris Algieri, presented by PPV.com. On December 6th, we have a triple header, a championship triple header, featuring Lamont Roach versus Pitbull Cruz, Oshaki Fosser versus Stephen Fulton. Janabek makes his stateside debut. I just made that up. He could have fought here in the U.S. as far as I know.
Definitely has.
He has?
Yes. Okay.
Janabek makes his debut in front of my eyes. I've never seen him fight before, going up against Arizona Lara for the middleweight title, which has some Terrence Crawford implications. You could stream the whole thing on PPV.com. No subscriptions. We're not locking you into a year. Not asking you to pay a ridiculous sum of money. Order it with us. Join us in the live stream. I'll be in the live stream. Chris will be in the live stream. Others will be in the live stream. We'll have a grand old time heading down to San Antonio in just a few weeks. So thank you to PPV.com as always. Chris, how are you, man?
I'm good. I'm excited for this weekend. Got a great bunch of fights. I'm going back down to Florida. It's getting very cold up here in the Northeast. I'm not okay with this. The days are really short. It gets dark really early. And I'm cold, man. It's cold up here. My blood is not ready for this cold
you
weather.
You gotta get up early when it's when it gets dark this early. And I'm not
up at
really
five every
riser.
Day. I'm up at five every day. It doesn't matter. The days are just too short. Plus, I'm on set all day making movies, so it's always dark. You never know what time it is. I haven't seen sunlight during the week. I don't even know what that means.
Last episode, you read a text of mine. About getting going with the podcast. And I thought, you know, maybe we'll make this a segment where I read texts that Chris sends me. No context to this text.
No context texting between Dan and Chris. I love it.
And I will not let you know what he meant. A vapid wasteland of talentless losers who never touch grass or ass.
No context. Take that what you will.
Leave a comment down below if you think you know what Chris was talking about there.
I text Dan like I'm writing philosophy, apparently.
I love that one.
Modern day philosopher.
I was at my local coffee shop. That text came through, let out a very, very hearty laugh.
Out loud? A proper LOL?
Proper nice. LOL. As I was getting ready for this episode, a very big episode, guys. Ring 4 is here. I think it's the best offering that Saudi and Ring Magazine have put forth. Mm. It is a quadruple header of main event worthy fights, title fights. We're going to see Abdullah Mason versus Sam Noakes, Bam Rodriguez, Puma Martinez. We're going to see Devin Haney versus Brian Norman, and we're going to see David Benavidez, Anthony Yard. What we're going to do for you today is we are going to give you some storylines. We're going to give you the last five opponents, some stats, some betting lines, Chris's take, predictions, and the plan is to go about 10 minutes on each fight. Do you think we can keep that going, Chris? Do you think we can do that?
No. Not optimistic.
Or else we'll be here all night.
It's probably going to be a long one. We tend to drag things out.
I say, hey, it's going to be a short one this episode.
Never happens. We have an interview. We can go shorter. Hour five.
But you do agree that this is I am so charged up. I those episodes of your run to the microphone. And this is one of them because this is the event of the year, I think.
So when you said that this is the best that Riyadh has put on, I was ready to attack you over that because that's a bold statement. I'm like, man, really, there's been some really great cards. I really think you're right. In terms of competitiveness, I think that this is the best card that has been put together in the very recent memory of Riyadh season and these fantastic Saudi cards. So yeah, I can't even push back, Dan.
No, yeah, there was better be of Bivol had a great card.
Great card.
Four or five
fights weren't that good. They didn't live up to it, though.
fight, best card on paper, because as we know, as a fight fan, we are always sold a bill of goods, and then it always ends up being a clinker. Like, hey, look at this car. It's so shiny and bright. Step inside of it, everything falls apart. The transmission's broken. Door falls lemon. Off.
Fight boxing fans are used to lemons.
Let's not hope. Let's hope it's not a lemon.
I can't see how it could honestly, be. I can't see
exactly.
How it could
be. I don't. Let's start it off, which I don't know if this is the right order, but this is the order that we're going with. Abdullah Mason versus Sam Noakes. This is for the vacant WBO lightweight title. Abdullah Mason, arguably one of the best prospects in boxing a few years ago, is now no longer a contender. Is now a title contender. And with a win, Mason would become the youngest champion in all of boxing by almost 2 years, eclipsing Xander Zayas, who is the current champion at 154. In addition to the win, Chris, I think Mason wins this fight. He arrives in a very, very big way. When you have a strap on you, you're now the hunted, as you know, as a former champ. And there are some big unifications. There are some big names at lightweight. This is now the coronation of Abdullah Mason, should he win this fight. But Noakes is a tough operator.
Yeah, yeah. Noakes is good. I don't know a ton about him. I've done a
watched a few of his fights.
Yes, watched a few of his fights. I've looked at, you know, obviously his record and looking past the numbers. He's fought some tough guys. He's fought some scrappy guys. He can punch, which is always interesting when you have someone like Abdullah Mason, because he is so young and he's. I wouldn't say he's untested, because he has fought really solid guys on the way up. He's had a really, really rough upbringing in terms of what you said, a prospect going into contender status, going into title challenger status. He has been down. We saw that a couple fights ago. He responded like a champion. He got up and went right back to work with the same tools that got him in trouble. And then his next fight, I was very impressed, made the adjustments necessary, was just keeping that hand up, that right hand up as he throws that rear uppercut, which is one of his best weapons. So this is an interesting fight. It's just really hard for me to go against Abdullah Mason, because I just think he is that good. I really do think he is the future and one of the best young prospects, future champions, probably for a long time out there. And I just saw a quote of his that he said, after Saturday, I am going to be ruling the lightweights for a long time. Wow. I have a hard time arguing that.
Well, I don't want to jump too far ahead here, but like, is he going to stay at lightweight? I could see him at like the way he's built.
Yeah.
154, 160.
Agreed.
21 years old.
Agreed.
But he's not going to. He's that's what he said.
That's what he said. I'm just going on a quote of his. That's all.
Thank you. You're a journalist, Chris, and I respect that about you. Abdullah Mason's 19-0 with 17 knockouts. His last five, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Mike Aughan Jr. stopped him in 2. Johan Vasquez stopped him in 2. Manuel James stopped him in 4. Carlos Ornelas stopped him in 6. The Vasquez fight was the fight where Mason went down twice in the first round.
Yep.
Got that chin touched. Shit. And then he had a fifth round stoppage, over Jeremiah Nakatia, who has seen better days, but is a name nonetheless. Now he takes on Sam Noakes. And Sam Noakes, 23-1. Wait, no, excuse me. He's 17-0. Sometimes BoxRec does that. They combine them, your amateur and your pro. He's 17-0 with 15 stoppages, talking about that power that he has. He's a pressure fighter. He throws 85 punches around his last four fights, but hasn't really stepped up like this. He's fought the domestic level types of fights. I went back and watched his last fight, which he completely overmatched Patrick Balazs. Got inside within seconds. Body work, pressure. Fan-friendly fighter. I'll give him that. Ryan Walsh, who has fought pretty much everybody and never been stopped. He went the distance with Ryan Walsh last year, December of last year, about a year ago. And in that fight, he was up big, 120, 108, 128, 119, 109. He is your prototypical pressure fighter, Chris. He's going to throw a lot of punches. At least we think so. Because the minute he gets countered, that 85 might turn into 55, might have turned into 35, might turn into, oh, shit, my hands are in my pockets. And then Abdullah Mason takes over.
Yeah, that's a great point, Dan. I mean, pressure fighters, guys who are volume guys, they're volume guys against certain guys. When they step up, generally, that volume goes way down, depending on whether you know, the opponent has good footwork, whether the opponent has a good disruptive jab, whether the opponent has good power, has good counters, all of those things affect punch output. So we're going to see if that he's a true volume puncher, because listen, if you're a volume puncher, you got to have an iron chin. You got to be able to take shots in between. Abdullah Mason is a great counter puncher. He's a vicious counter puncher. He's a good puncher at 35. He's big for the weight, long, rangy, finds those holes in a guy's offense. And I don't know, someone who keeps his hands as busy as Noakes in offense means they're not going to be home for defense. Just allows a lot of opportunities for Abdullah Mason to find home with that big power.
Obviously, he's never, I don't know if he's been down or not, but Noakes is a durable guy, and he's coming to win, as they say. But Mason's just might be a little too strong. Talk about some of the champs at 135, a division that has been one of the best in boxing for years, but is in somewhat of a transition with Tank. Who knows what's going on with Tank? I expect him, I mean, they have to strip him soon. I mean, I don't know what's going on there. Shakur's next fight is going to be at 140. And then we have Murataya versus Andy Cruz, which has just been announced for the first month of 2026, which is an outstanding fight. So if Abdullah wants that smoke, I'm not trying to get too far ahead here. But those are the other champs at 135. Obviously, this is a division that, you know, Lomachenko gave up some belts, and we've seen some Tank has held hostage a belt for a while. Shakur's had a few. So we'll see with Mason. As for the odds, brought to you by DraftKings, Noakes is a plus 260 underdog. Mason minus 350. Not huge. Pretty close here on the, according to Vegas, over under set at 9.5. Abdullah by decision, plus money at plus 225. If you think Noakes is durable, that could be a play for you. Mason by stoppage, which has just been the case throughout his entire career, bulldozing guys, minus 105. Decent value there. How about a little, let's see, with a little late stoppage. You know I love that, 7 through 12, plus 210 for Abdullah Mason. So pretty close odds, and that's mostly because I think the odds makers are still a little hesitant on what exactly Abdullah Mason is.
Yeah, and I think they should be. You know, 21 years old, hasn't been tested at world-class level, has fought very tough journeymen, really tough journeymen. The guys, you look past the numbers and you're like, ooh, that guy's tough. He's been on some other guys' records. I've seen him and they performed well. But he's been down. And once that happens, that changes a lot of people's views. Again, he responded well. I took it as a positive, but listen, he's been down twice in the same fight against the same guy. But regardless, there's going to be that. And he's fighting a puncher. So there might be some value in that upset. What are the odds on a Sam Noakes KO?
Sam Noakes KO. Let's see here. Noakes by stoppage. Noakes by KO is plus 1,000. That's like a clean knockout. Noakes, that's just a clean knockout. Okay. I never bet that. Noakes by any form of stoppage, whether it's TKO or KO, is plus 400.
That's big huge. Money. It's not huge, but that's good money. That's good. Plus 400 right,
because
good.
Because Noakes he's a very solid fighter. We just don't know enough. We don't really know a lot about him. And I think the odds are letting us, we're seeing that from these odds. I'm looking at some of the stats here. Noakes lands 7 jabs a round, which is a really good number. Lightweight average is 4.
Especially for a guy who knocks people out. That is good.
Right. Lands 21 punches a round. The average in the weight class is 16. Mason is just, you know, he just lights up the stat sheet. 48% of his total punches, lands 44% of his jabs, 50% of his power shots. Oof. He's insane. This guy, I get excited when I see Abdullah Mason do interviews, when I see him fight. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. As someone that is heavily invested in the sport, it's literally our lives. Like, we need stars, and Abdullah Mason could be that next guy.
He has all the makings, and I've been around him and his family. They're wonderful people. They are fully dedicated to Abdullah and his dream, and his title chase and his supremacy, because they're a unit, man. It's very, very impressive to watch them operate. So he's the kind of guy who's really hard to not root for. You know, like we have to be, you said, we're journalists and we're media and we have to be unbiased. But guess what? We're still biased.
I'm not a journalist.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. But we're still, we're media.
I was like going to journalism school and I was like.
You did not go to school for any kind of academic pursuit. Let's be honest.
I got my degree from New York Tech, New York Institute of Technology, Go Bears, after many stops. But I did originally go to West Virginia for journalism.
How'd that go? Tell everyone how that went, Dan.
Where, West Virginia?
Yeah. Renowned party school, guys. Renowned
party school. It ate me up. I did get onto the newspaper right away, which is, there was like 200 kids applying for the Daily Athenaeum, which is the top newspaper, school newspaper. 200 kids applying. I got it, bro. That's how good I was. I got it. I was interviewing Bob Huggins and all the
and look where you are
West
now.
Virginia players.
Look what look you where are now.
Look at where I am. I got my own wall here. I don't even know where I was going with this. I have something here called Chris's take. final like word on this fight.
Yeah, I just like I said earlier. I think a guy like Noakes, who is not seen the likes of an Abdullah Mason and may never see the likes of an Abdullah Mason, as far as I'm concerned. With his volume punching, there's going to just be so many openings for Abdullah to find those counter shots of the big power. I'm going Abdullah Nason by KO or knockout or stoppage in one way or another. And it's just because I think so highly of Abdullah Mason. I think Sam Noakes is going to be there. And as you said, he's there to win, which I think plays more into what I'm saying about Abdullah Mason. I think Abdullah Mason is just, he's primed and ready, and this is his moment.
I'm going with Abdullah Mason by unanimous decision. Just a hunch. I believe that, I think people are sleeping on Noakes a little bit. I think Mason is going to be feeling the pressure tiny, teeny bit. Chin maybe gets touched a few times, Mason, only because Mason's willing to land. That's the thing about Abdullah that I really like, is he is a knockout guy that's willing to get hit. He's going to find himself get hit early, maybe in the middle rounds, and then he gets a nice decision win, like a 8-4, and then we have Abdullah Mason as a new champion, and it's a big coronation, and I love that. So one fight down, and I believe that was exactly 10 minutes. I'm very proud of us. We're moving on.
Felt long.
Felt long. I think I looked at the clock, started at 7:51. It's now 8:01 here as we record this on Thursday, Eastern. Bam Rodriguez, top six pound for pound boxer in the world, who people still seem to sleep on, is fighting Puma Martinez. What is Puma's real name? Fernando Martinez. Everyone just calls him Puma, which is a very cool nickname.
Very cool.
Very cool. And for storylines in this one, Chris, Bam looking to add another title to his resume. This time it will be Martinez's WBA title. And it's all about Bam just adding more scalps. We like to talk about that on this pod. It is legendary scalps, all sorts of scalps Bam has. And he's looking to add Puma Martinez, an undefeated fighter who I believe is worthy of the challenge.
Yeah, and Bam collecting crowns with the head still attached. That's how Bam Rodriguez operates, man. He is one of, and I use the word operate, I'm going to use it again. He's one of the best operators I've seen in a very long time. His ability to visualize and set up shots. It's like watching AI. It's like, oh, I want this. I'm going to find it. I'm going to set it up. I'm going to make him step into it and get it. He's dogged in his approach about that, but he does it in such a smooth way. He's one of the most beautifully violent fighters I've seen in the modern era. I can't say enough glowing praises about Bam Rodriguez. So I'm always excited to see him operate. This is a fight that I've wanted to see for a while because I think Puma he's a tough SOB, man. He brings it. Argentinian, and you know, he doesn't want to lose that title. You know, he's all about it.
If Puma is on, we're going to have ourselves a barn burner. Because I didn't like what I saw in the second half of the Aoka fight. I thought he kind of slowed down a little bit. Got the win.
Good win.
Close
good
scores
win.
Here.
Aoka's
close
Aoka's,
scores. Yeah, great yeah. win.
I mean, beat him twice.
Back to back, Aoka wins.
Yes.
Back to back.
Better the first time, but
mm-hmm.
did it on the road as well.
And we're doing it on the road here, too. All these guys are on the road. I believe this is the first Saudi fight. That's another thing we got to keep in mind, too, the Saudi I'll just ask you right now. You fought in Macau, China. Mm-hmm. How much of it does? How much of the Saudi traveling and the atmosphere play a role in your fight preparation?
Traveling sucks. It changes your preparation. You don't do it wrong, it can be disastrous. And I can tell you this, you know, the Macau crowd was pretty quiet. And Saudi crowds are very quiet. And it does affect you if you're used to performing for crowds. And I was a fan favorite. I fought in New York a lot. I had a lot of crowds. And it was definitely something. And I also fought, again, I fought home a lot, so I was traveling, did affect me. But if you're accustomed to doing it and you have a mature team that's prepared for all the differences to it, related to it, I think it doesn't need to make a big difference. And I think, you know, guys do it all the time. So it just depends on what you're used to. And, you know, Puma has traveled. He's been to Japan twice and, you know, won titles over there. So I would be less concerned about him. I believe Bam has also done it. Bam's been to Saudi. Uh-huh. No?
Nope. Seeing a lot of American flags on his box work.
Uh-oh.
Fought in Tijuana a couple times
that
early on in his career.
That does not count. That does not count. He has not fought in Saudi yet. This is his first Saudi trip?
First Saudi fight.
Yeesh.
I think it's the first Saudi for a lot of these guys. Like Haney did
I will
not.
Say this, though. It's not Robert Garcia's first Saudi trip. So he's going to be prepared because he is a...
huge.
He's a machine. Absolute machine. He's a systematic coach, and his team is all going to benefit from that. So I don't think it's going to affect that, either one of these guys.
What about the whole fighting in the empty? I don't know what the crowd is going to be like here. Not about that. What about the early morning?
Again,
what's the fight in China?
Like 11 a.m. Weigh-ins were
felt like 11 a.m. for you.
Yeah, it did. It felt weird. Very, very weird. I didn't go there early enough. I should have went there like 2-3 weeks in advance. I didn't do that. I went like 12 days. It was just not even close to enough.
Yeah.
That was a mistake. I had an immature team at the time too. So we didn't know that, but I think,
not only that, it's just like you were making good money, but it's like the funds, man. Like a month in China, that's pricey.
Yes. Very. And you got to bring sparring partners. Or find them or whatever. There's no sparring partners in Macau, so we'd have to bring people in, and then you don't trust people, and then, you know, what if they headbutt? You know, there's a lot of things that go wrong. So suddenly you got to fly these guys out and put them up for 2 weeks, and that's a whole other cost.
So many advantages and variables in this sport. I think Benavides has been out there for a solid 3 or 4 weeks.
Smart. Very smart.
Back to this fight. Obviously, Bam can add another belt, can add another accolade to an already ridiculous career that has seen him beat the likes of Carlos Quadras, Sorung Vasai, Israel Gonzalez, Sonny Edwards, Juan Francisco Estrada.
It's ridiculous. That's a ridiculous run of guys. Ridiculous. Those you kept going. I'm just like, good God.
It's 25 years old, is on this card, and maybe it's because of the size. Doesn't have the biggest personality. Interesting guy. Doesn't have the biggest personality. It's kind of getting lost in the sauce here that we have probably the most well-rounded fighter on the entire card is on this card. And we're just not. I'm going to start posting some BAM content. You know, I've been having fun going into our archives and posting interviews I've done with a lot of these guys. And I've never interviewed BAM. Actually, I have, but not like Mini Mike, but I have some other stuff. But yeah, this is all about Bam at 115, potentially moving up. You know, he's talked about wanting to fight Inoue. I think he's on that trajectory. I don't know about an Inoue fight per se. We're really jumping ahead here. But, you know, they're floating things like that out there because he's just dominating. He's beating these guys in such spectacular fashion, highlight reel knockouts. And it's just poetry watching him fight. He is like an artist in there. It's one of my favorite things to watch is that guy's feet and just – like you're totally right with the AI. It's like you literally type in like a video game, like do this, 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 and this. And then he goes in the ring and he's doing it against top talent. He's underrated somehow.
Somehow. Yes. And it's true. I agree. You said poetry. And I always said Roman Gonzalez is like watching a symphony of violence. And I think that we can hang that on Bam as well. He is that good. He is that pretty to watch. It is that fun. And also he's fun. He's fun to watch too. Like you're like, what's he going to do next? And he takes on the toughest guys. He talks like a fighter is supposed to talk. He fights like a fighter is supposed to fight. And he just handles business. I I'd love everything about his style and persona.
Look at these stats. Bam Rodriguez has a plus 17 plus minus rating. That's number two among active champions. Shakur is number one at plus 20. Mayweather, for reference, had a plus 24 at one point. Andre Ward had close to a 20. I think Lomachenko had close to a 20 or had 20. Once you get above like around 17, 18, you are in rarefied air. And that's Bam Rodriguez. Hit and don't get hit. And he lands 40% of his total punches. That's number one in all of boxing. Lands 48% of his power punches. That's also number one. He lands 27% of his jabs. Number one. He lands 7.2 jabs per round. Number four in all of boxing. So I love when the stats go in line with the talent.
Yeah, and what you see.
Can't deny it.
And it's not even like the stats. I always say that about CompuBox stats. Where you're like, I like
the
when
trash.
I like when no, I sometimes.
Oh, that's Paulie.
Sometimes
I got you guys mixed up.
Sometimes they are, but no, I like when
wow.
I like when they mirror or shadow what I'm saying. It's like I'm saying something or what I'm thinking, and then I see the stats and I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Yeah, it's exactly how I think about it. And more often than not, I had to throw a little dig in there. That was for you, Paulie.
You got it.
That was for you, Paulie. That's for you, Paulie.
That's for Bob too. If you got to see if Bob's listening.
Yeah, but I love Bob.
If Bob's not listening, then we have a problem. If I get a text, Chris thinks stats are trash.
No. Bob.
Bob's
no.
Listening.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. No, he does. Your dad texts me about the shows.
Good.
No, I. That's the thing about CompuBox. When you or stats in general, when you see the stats and you're like, you can see in your mind's eye, you're like, yep. Yep, and Bam's like that. Bam is that guy. Yeah. You hear those stats, and you're like, yeah, that all checks out. That all tracks.
And exactly, tracks. That's what we do. We track punches. Puma Martinez, 70 punches a round. The junior bantamweight average is 61. He's going to throw a lot of punches. He lands 25 a round. That's a pretty healthy number, 40% of his power, 22 punches in total a round. So we know how he's going to fight, or we think we know how he's going to fight, and that's going to be pressing the action, which could potentially just fall right into the hands of Bam Rodriguez. And according to the DraftKings odds here, this is the widest favorite, Jesse Rodriguez minus 1,100 Oof. Favorite in this fight.
Really? Wow.
Fernando Martinez plus 650, over under at 9.5. Bam by stoppage, which I think is the case here, is minus 225. I think Vegas believes that as well. Bam by decision. Vegas doesn't see this going the distance, plus 250. Puma pulling off the upset one way or another is plus 1600 for a decision, plus 1100 for a knockout, which I think that should be reversed.
Yeah.
Bam didn't get knocked out.
No. It's funny. I saw Puma as being one of the. Actually, but I can say that about everybody. I've seen these guys as being tough for Bam, and then he goes out there and absolutely dominates them and finishes them. So, and I've been saying, oh, Puma could be a guy that is going to give him some trouble. I didn't think Puma was going to beat him. Never really thought that. But, like I said, every time I've thought that this could be a stiff challenge, Bam just dominates. So, I guess Vegas agrees.
I mean, it does. They're looking for locks, Vegas. They're looking for betting locks, and I think Bam is the closest thing to a lock today that we have in the sport. And not to say Puma isn't a good challenge. Like I said, if he's on like he was in the first Lyoko fight, he was on for the first half of the Lyoko fight, I think we have ourselves a really interesting fight. If not, then I think Bam's just going to slice through him. And that's why – what do I have for this pick? What did I pick for this one? I made a graphic. I think I picked Bam stoppage.
Yeah, I did too. Bam stoppage.
Let's keep it moving. Hopefully this is a good fight and Bam can show out on a big card. I know this isn't the co-main event. I know David Benavidez versus Anthony Yard is the main event, but to me, Hanny Norman's the main event, so I'm putting Benavidez Yard as the co-main.
The people's main event. The people's main event is Hanny and Norman.
We can do that here. It's our show.
Yes.
We make the rules. No promoters stepping in. No A side, no B side, no lawyers. I made an executive decision. All right.
I like it, Dan. I like it because, listen, people get mad at us all the time. Like, this
every day.
It's our opinions. This is an opinion show.
Just you know, on Twitter, I always have to. Oh, another segment I want to bring up is we will talk about our most tweeted clip of the week. Mm-hmm. So week before we were talking about what were we talking about 2 weeks ago that got everyone all riled up. Oh, that was your Shakur Mayweather take.
Yeah.
How Shakur could go on to be the next Mayweather in terms of him beating all your favorite fighters. This past week was rehydration clauses. And you talked about your disdain for them and how dangerous they are and how we should introduce a percentage of body weight rather than a hard number. All valid points. The predominant response that we got from that, and I wanted to get your thoughts on this because I didn't answer any of these people because I don't know. This isn't my wheelhouse. It was, well, why don't these fighters just fight in their correct weight classes? Weight bully. We wouldn't have to worry about rehydration clauses if everyone just fought in the proper weight class. How do you answer that? Because I don't know how to answer that.
Someone doesn't fought. It's not reality. So it used to be that you would utilize weight-restricting techniques in order to weigh in to get a competitive advantage. But then when everybody does it, it's not a competitive advantage anymore. It becomes leveling the playing field because the guys are huge. And I'll tell you this right now. When you meet world-class fighters, they are way bigger than their weight class. Dan, how many world-class fighters have you been around? You're like, holy shit, this guy fights at this weight? Every single one of them. Every single one of them. When you meet a world-class fighter, you're like, wow, you are huge.
A few guys that stayed around 5'10 pounds around their fighting weight, but very rare.
Yeah, Floyd. And there's nobody.
Mayweather, Lomachenko.
No, Lomachenko got heavy, dude. You could see his body change.
He's heavy now.
Yeah. You would see him get heavy too. It wasn't like Lomachenko didn't really Hopkins. Put on good weight. Hopkins is a guy who stayed very
freak.
Yeah, yeah. Floyd and Hopkins are probably the two best because they stayed lean and fit. Even
Teofimo,
yes, good athlete, stays light, but he's special because I don't think he's cutting weight at all anymore. He is just showing up. He's always in shape. There was a time there where Gervonta Davis was doing it. He was staying in very good shape in between fights.
I mean, I saw him the night before the fight. He was eating SpongeBob ice cream.
Yep. He wouldn't
be bothered.
But there was a couple years there where he really locked in because we've seen him get big. We've seen him get big in between fights.
Remember when he missed weight at the Mayweather-McGregor card and everyone was all over him?
Yeah. Yeah. And then for a couple years, he stayed really lean. But no, it's not anyone who's competed is never going to make that argument. Like, oh, why don't you just fight at your weight? You can't because you're just in such a disadvantage because guys are just way too big.
All right. That answers that. Maybe next week we'll have another, we'll revisit this segment on how did we, me and Chris, piss off Twitter and how did we address it on the podcast. It's actually pertinent to David Benavidez because he's probably the number one quote unquote weight bully in boxing. He always gets accused of it. I posted a video of before the Vodzik fight of David talking about all the investments he's made over his career, whether it's real estate, sparring partners, jewelry, and all the comments are like, look how sucked in he is. Look at my man struggling. It's like, this is an old video, but it was still him making 175. So that's a big storyline in this fight with Haney and Benavidez, I think, are two of the names that always get thrown around when it comes to weight bullying and guys that don't belong in their weight classes. But we'll start with Benavidez and Yard. You want to say something there?
I was going to say, weight bully is a stupid term.
I hate it.
If you can make the weight, you're not a bully. You made the weight. If you can make the weight and feel good and can perform well, you're not a bully. Some people can cut more weight than others. Some guys are more willing to cut weight than others. Some people are more disciplined and able to do it. It is a skill. It is an attribute. No such thing as weight bully.
And I still think the rehydration clauses, despite you being a weight bully or not, whatever, they're still dangerous and they still should be outlawed.
100%.
They're not mutually exclusive.
Talking about brain hydration. It's brain hydration. That my argument on that is always brain hydration.
Yeah. I think Ryan Garcia was on the Ring Show talking about it and he was making some really good points as someone that's fought on rehydration clause against Tank. All right. Benavidez, Yard. Storylines here is I think Benavidez is on the precipice of, big time stardom. Benavidez is on the precipice of fighting Beterbiev or Bivol. He is one of the bigger names in boxing. And with a win here, he just keeps the drum rolling. He's a big-time favorite in this fight, second biggest favorite, only to Bam and Puma. And Benavidez, it's just more Benavidez putting on a show and looking good, because I feel like he gets graded harshly. He doesn't get graded fairly, I feel like, from boxing fans, because I think fans think so highly of him. So when he beat Vodzik, it was like, yeah, you know, he didn't look that good. And meanwhile, Vodzik is a former champ, and it was his first fight at 175 for Benavidez. And you know, I just think he's under a microscope, Benavidez. And with him, it's like, how do you win? And he's got to win spectacularly, despite him not really being a knockout puncher, even though he is the Mexican monster.
Yeah, he's going to have to go out there and dominate. But he's got a really tough task in front of him. Anthony Yard is... He's one of my favorite Brits, probably my favorite Brit. I mean, he's so exciting, so fun to watch.
Of all time?
No. Current crop.
I thought it was Elton John.
Anthony Yard makes fun fights. The guy is willing to go bombs away, go out on the shield. He's got great power. He's super explosive. He's confident. I like everything about him. Like the way he carries himself, like the way he fights. I like his willingness to engage. There is no fear in that man's heart. He goes for it, and he's trying to win at all times. So I think this is going to be a great fight. You've got the volume puncher and fast-handed David Benavidez, who's also got the height and size, and Anthony Yard, man, who's just super tough, super durable, super explosive, and just the will of iron. I love this fight.
I like that.
I love this fight, and it can go a lot of ways, but I think it's going to be fun any of the ways that it goes.
Yeah, when I say that I have Haney and Norman as the main event, no disrespect to both these guys, because I think they put that in play. I think they're smart. Riyadh and Ring, as much as they get criticized, and I think we have given them their fair share of criticism and support, they do listen and they do make adjustments. I think they have some skepticism when it comes to putting Devin Haney in the main event. So this is almost like insurance. It's like Benavidez will fulfill the stat sheet. Benavidez will throw a shit ton of punches and give us what I think should be a spectacular win here. So we'll put him in the main event, even though Haney and Norman are stealing all the shine. But going over to our guy Yard here, his three losses is a crazy stat. Yard's three losses are the only three losses on the entire main card. 193.
I saw that.
Wild. And his three losses are quality
losses. Quality tip top, like amazing losses. I mean, the Lyndon Arthur one, no, but Sergey and Better Biev, forget it.
And at the time of the stoppage for Better Biev, one judge had him up, two judges had him up, unless I'm reading this wrong. Close fight.
So was the Kovalev fight. Kovalev's fight was close too.
Didn't he take the Kovalev fight on short notice?
I don't know, but he came guns blazing early, and Kovalev had to use his jab all night to win.
No, yeah, Kovalev went on to fight Canelo after that. Kovalev fought Canelo quickly.
Right after that, yes.
Yard took the freaking starch out of Kovalev.
Yes, yep.
If you want to pick apart resumes, which everyone loves to do, you want to pick apart Canelo going up to 175 and beating Kovalev, you know, Kovalev's half drunk and also fought Yard yesterday, day before.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So revisionist history will tell you that. But he's a stud, Anthony Yard. I just think he's had a lot of battles in his career. 34 years old, looks the part. Guy looks like he should be on the movie set with you over at Fight for 84.
I'll put him in a movie.
He's a beast.
I'll put him in a movie.
Casting, you're a casting director now?
I'm a talent manager. Let's go. I'll sign him.
Get me on the casting couch.
I'll sign him.
Pause. Yep. He's got four straight wins. Lyndon Arthur, Ralphs Vikans, Marco Nikolic, Jorge Silva. That was the 2023 loss to Better Biev. With Yard, it's like such a stop and go career. Like at one point, it was highly regarded, but you know, has these losses. And I feel like he should have always been fighting top quality. And apparently, they said this fight took like 5 minutes to make, whereas they called up Benavidez. The Benavidez team called up Yards, and Yards was like, yeah, we're in. And it was just like seamless, and that doesn't surprise me at all, right?
I told you how much I like this guy. Like just everything I like. I really like the cut of this guy's jib. I like the way Anthony Yard operates. I like everything. I like the way this guy responds. I like the way this guy acts. I like the way this guy fights. He's my favorite Brit.
Favorite Brit other than Elton John?
I don't know. Elton John.
Not an Elton John guy.
Not an Elton John fan. Not
down with Elton John.
No offense to Elton John.
No shade at Mr. Elton.
Not a fan.
Benavidez, wins over Morel, which was this year, which felt like for some reason was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
That was February of this year. I was there in attendance. Very good win. Sneaky good fight. Vodzik, 175. This will be Benavidez's third fight at 175. Said he wants to fight here for 5 years, then cruiserweight for 5 years. Our boy Jim Lampley. Where's Jim Lampley been, by the way?
Good question.
God, I gotta text him. I know he got his Instagram, like, something happened with his Instagram and he lost the account.
Oh, that's a shame.
He probably clicked something he shouldn't have.
That's something my dad would do.
He definitely clicked something he shouldn't have and lost his account. I gotta text him. Lampley has said that he believes that Benavidez is gonna go to heavyweight. I don't know. Common theme of this podcast is me jumping way ahead.
I don't see that.
You already shot that down a couple episodes ago.
Yeah. Cruiserweight, sure. Heavyweight, I don't see it. I don't see it.
He's got some other good wins at 168. The Caleb Plant win, Demetrius Andrade win, former champion at a young age, belt taken away from him for cocaine and for missing weight. He's had a whole full career, David Benavidez. And how old is he? 28 years old. Still 28. We got guys who are in their 30s in boxing who haven't done anything. And David Benavidez has won a title, lost a title, popped for cocaine, missed it on the weight, is now one of the biggest money men in the sport. I like David.
Has been chasing Canelo for what seems like 15 years, even though it's been that
still
long. Still. That's still apparently it's not dead.
Answering questions.
Apparently it's not
still,
dead.
Still asking. He's still answering the Canelo questions. Even this week. He says, I don't care if Canelo lost. I don't care if he loses 10 times in a row. I still believe a fight with me and him is something fans want to see. He's like Michael Chandler when it comes to Conor McGregor.
No, he's not, because Michael Chandler kept losing and Benavidez is like on top of the world. So I know I've been going over the top for Anthony Yard. I can do the same for David Benavidez. I love this guy, man.
Beast.
Yeah, he's the best. Him and listen, I like his dad a lot. I've interviewed both David and his father, and they're just super solid people, super solid in every way. They have firm belief in their son's abilities and where they can go, and it's hard not to believe them. So another guy talks like you want your champions to talk, acts like your champion you want your champion to act, fights like you want your champion to fight. Yeah, all that.
I guess the one knock would be that he wants to give us a Canelo fight.
Like, I don't think that's a knock. I don't think that's a knock.
I'm being sarcastic.
Oh, yeah.
I'm being, you know, what's the word? Facetious. I'm being like
facetious.
The one thing is that he struggles to make weight sometimes, and he really wants to fight Canelo.
Yeah, but that was a while ago. He's been fine with the weight. The knock on him is the knockouts.
Not getting him?
Yeah. The knock on him is the not knocking guys out of 75. That, you know.
Or really, I mean, he just breaks you down. I mean, what are his numbers?
He beats the shit out of you. He's got fast hands and he's got a good jab.
He just,
a good body
takes
puncher.
Your will.
Yeah. It crushes you. Just, yeah.
Takes your, you can see, like, when you're out of Benavidez fight, you can see him take over a fight physically and mentally. You can see his opponent wilt. Like, I saw David Morrell, fourth or fifth round, just completely.
You just go, God body language damn changed. It. You're getting mugged. You're just like, all right, cool. Take my wallet. Just take it.
That's really what it is.
Yeah.
You're in a back alley and you're fighting at first. And then all of a sudden, your social security card is in David Benavidez's hands. And it's all over. Your whole bank account's wiped out.
Yeah.
David Benavidez, that should be his nickname. Just the fucking mugger.
David.
Better than
the mugger.
Better than Mexican Monster.
Yeah, I don't love that.
Tyson gave him the nickname.
I don't love that name, but
I don't think Benavidez even likes it. I think Tyson gave him the name, and he's like, "Oh shit!" Tyson gives you a nickname, you have to keep it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Right? I think I believe.
I mean, Michael Buffer gave me my nickname. I don't love it, but you know, the Fighting Collegian.
Mike. Yeah, it was horrible.
Fighting Collegian. But it's Michael Buffer. What am I going to do? I got a good story about it.
He didn't cook there. You know, the kids say he cooked there.
Yeah, no, I didn't cook there.
Buffer, he didn't cook there. He undercooked. That's all right. You win some, you lose some. Maybe Benavidez will change his nickname. Like, you know, Mayweather changed his.
Yes, and changed his entire everything.
Next time I see Benavidez, I'm gonna go. I'm gonna ask him, "Hey, what do you think about changing your nickname to the fucking mugger?"
The fucking mugger. That's a good one.
And he's like, "What is it? How? What does that mean?" I'm like, "When you're fighting these guys, you're basically just in an alley, just mugging them."
Dan, you know why you're special? And I mean this in the best way possible, because in the same podcast, you can say something like, Ben Rodriguez's fighting style is like poetry. But then you can also say, next time I talk to Dave Benavidez, I'm going to say, why don't you call yourself the fucking mugger?
It's called variation.
Yeah, balance. I think it's balance. I think it's great balance. Great balance.
You can hire me to do just about anything in the sport. I can do it. Benavidez plus 16 plus minus ranking, number four among all active fighters. Nice. 38% of his total punches, number two. He lands 26% of his jabs, which is number two, and he lands 45% of his power shots. And his opponents only land 26% of their power shots. Sneaky good defense, Benavidez. No one gives him credit for his defense. Something I believe he told me in an interview once. A lot of guys, they feel like, you know, you think of Benavidez, you don't think of defense. You don't really think of him as a boxer, but this guy is an all-around phenomenal boxer.
I don't not think of him as defense. I don't think of him getting hit a lot because I think he's so overwhelming. First of all, his jab, super underrated. Nobody ever talks about his jab. His jab's awesome. You talk about his jab because you're the stats guy. Very good disruptive jab. And it's also, he closes the distance really well with the jab and he sets up combinations. A lot of times jabbers don't punch off their jab. They use their jab as a single weapon and it's kind of an isolate. Not David Benavidez. He leads with his jab and brings it into combinations very, very adeptly, but also keeps you on your back foot, keeps you busy, keeps that thing in your face so you can't hit him. I can't really think of a lot of times where I've seen him get hit with a lot of shots. So defensively, I don't not think of him as that, but I think it comes off of his one combination punching, fast hands, and really that jab.
Do we think Yard can do it?
No, Yard is going to be flinging in overhand rights and giant leaping left hooks.
I think this is going to be like hot knife through butter.
Yeah? Oh, man.
Yeah. I think Benavidez is going to stop him mid-round. And Benavidez stoppage is minus 155.
Wow.
So according to DraftKings. Benavidez decision is plus 190.
Dang.
Vegas is in lockstep. Me and Vegas are simpatico.
I might have to change my pick, dude.
Dang. Yeah, when you sent me your pick before, I was shocked to see that. You picked Yard. You picked, not Yard, sorry. You picked Benavidez by decision.
I did. And I'm not completely off that.
Benavidez 7 through 12 is plus 160. Benavidez 1 through 6. I really hesitate to do 1 through 6. I just can't put
1 through 6.
I never bet 1 through 6. And Benavidez is a little bit of a slow starter. He's been known to slow start, did not start slow against Morrell. But I think Morrell has a lot more than what Yard is going to offer.
I'm trying to think if Yard has ever fought anyone with as busy as Benavidez, because that could be where the stoppage comes, just overwhelmed.
Well, BF throws a lot of punches.
He does, but he's got sledgehammer hands, and that is not Benavidez.
Lyndon Arthur doesn't fill it up.
No, neither does Kovalev.
Kovalev, jab, that's it.
He's got a good, hard, stiff, long jab. I'm sticking with Benavidez by decision. I think Yard being at light heavyweight for longer, I think him being physically strong and durable and going for it. And I think that he's explosive and punches hard enough that it's not just going to be Benavidez walking through him and just beating him down. So I'm sticking with it. I'm sticking by decision.
All right. Benavidez round 7 and 8 plus 550. Benavidez rounds 5 and 6.
So you're predicting David Benavidez getting his first stoppage at 75 against Anthony Yard.
Yeah. I just think Yard is just, he's had too many battles.
How old is Yard?
It's not going to be a one punch stoppage. At least I don't think. It's going to be accumulation. 30,
he's 34.
7 through 8 is really speaking to me. Plus 550.
7 through 8, so 7 and 8.
or 7 through 8. 7-11. 7 through 8. 7 and 8. 6-7. 7 and 8. Plus 550. I got to get my DraftKings account restored. I put a big bet in on the Spurs to win the NBA championship. to win a lot of money. And DraftKings was like, whoa, you never bet this much. We're locking your account. Which is good because they don't want fraud, you know? They don't want to make sure it's not, they want to make sure it's me. So it's a little side story. Yeah, the Spurs to win it all. Like plus 4,000.
Dan, should I send you a hotline number at this point? You're scaring me with this talk.
Future bets are interesting. They're like a stock.
That's one way to look at it. It's not.
No, it really is, bro. It's a stock because you can cash out. The cash out game. If you put up enough money on the front end, and I don't think the Spurs are going to win at all, but they have the number one player, one of the best players in basketball, Wembanyama. And if they're like a top four seed in the NBA playoffs, me and my buddy can cash out and make several thousand dollars.
Cool. I'm sure everyone listening wants to hear about this. Because I know I know I'm enthused.
Future bets, baby. Future bets. All right, we're moving on to the people's main event. Brian Norman, Devin Haney. Devin Haney and Brian Norman. Norman's the champ, so we should go with Norman's name first, right? He's the WBO welterweight champion here. Brian Norman, Devin Haney. I love this fight. I am so excited for this fight. I think it's going to be intriguing fight stylistically. I think the ramifications are going to be huge. Potential face of boxing, potential massive unifications at 147, potential end of Devin Haney and the birth of Brian Norman. Everyone looking at this fight, everyone analyzing this fight. People are analyzing the body language of Devin Haney at the press conference. I have almost 200 replies to Devin Haney bouncing up and down in the face of Brian Norman. We have body language experts. A fight that when it was announced, Brian Norman was going to knock the block off of Devin Haney, especially how Haney looked against Jose Ramirez. Then as the months went on, Devin Haney's going to outbox Brian Norman because Brian Norman really hasn't beaten anyone. And then, I would say the last 2 weeks, Chris, completely reversed. You know why? Because Brian Norman has been doing some funny interviews, has been sunning him in interviews, and has been coming off really well with the press. You should never gauge a fight like that. You should never. Brian Norman can do an interview. Therefore, he's gonna outbox Devin Haney. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
I literally had guys on set asking me, they're like, "I like this Brian Norman guy. Like, I think he's gonna win." Like, literally, I said, "Well, why? Have you ever seen him fight? No, never seen him fight. I don't know. I just saw some of his interviews. I like the way he talks. Literally, that's verbatim. I like the way he talks."
Well, Chris, you got to
never saw him fight.
As a boxing lifers like we are, if someone comes up to you and asks about Brian Norman, you have to just be like, yes. Yeah, you're talking boxing?
Great. Yes. Yes.
You're wrong. You're very wrong.
Yes. But like, I didn't say that. I was just like, good. Watch the fight. It's gonna be a good one. I'm not chopping down people's dreams of getting into the sport just because they don't know what their ass from their elbow.
Right, you have to be kind. You have to be gentle.
Always have to be kind. Boxing come to boxing, please.
Yes.
Everyone is welcome. Yes. Everyone is welcome. We embrace you.
Come to boxing.
With open arms. Come to boxing. You'll be sad and sick over it.
You'll be
depressed.
Poor.
Super poor.
You'll lose all your money, whether it's from ordering fights
or betting.
Betting on fights.
Gambling, because that's
just
stupid.
Just being completely upset with how it ends. Where should we go here? Let's look at Brian Norman here. He's 28-0. He's got 22 knockouts. He's age 24. Burst onto the scene with these highlight reel knockouts, picking up a vacant I don't know. Picking up a title along the way at 140. I feel like when he won the title at 147, we just weren't giving a lot of attention to Norman because it was the division was just dormant. He was not a big name. He isn't what he is now. And then he has the win over Jin Sasaki, which Taylor made.
Yeah.
Top rank in Norman played that perfectly. They turn down the whole boots thing, and they go to Japan. They knock out this guy who's Taylor made. He becomes the puncher. He becomes scary. He becomes the boogeyman. Despite him struggling, what's the fight that you said you were calling a top rank and he was struggling?
Boca Chica.
Yes.
Had a lot of trouble in the Boca Chica fight. And it was what made Top Rank be like, you know, that we've been building this guy for a long time. I mean, he built himself. Don't get me wrong. There was a lot of self building, the old fashioned way, grassroots building up. But he fought the who's who of of journeyman along the way. And he signed with Top Rank and was just underwhelming. You know, Tim Bradley was giving him a lot of heat. His father and Tim were literally coming to blows at press conferences whenever they were around each other.
What Bradley is completely went off the deep end.
I've not talked to Tim in a bit. Haven't really been seeing his stuff. He's not really big on social. Rank
hiatus real hard.
I mean, that's his alt. That's, listen, he's a Top Rank baby. Like he's been a baby of Top Rank for so long. Bob created it, his career.
Right. Never left.
But super, like, loyal guy.
His takes are getting steamy.
Yeah. What's the latest take?
I haven't, like, he says Haney's, he's been on the anti-Haney train for a while, but he had one with Paulie. It was going about Paulie fighting in bare knuckle. Told him to get a woman, get a tenderoni, he said. Tenderoni.
That's funny. That's not that. I think that's great.
Out loud. I was laughing out loud. That's what I always said about Bradley. I said, even when he's coming on the show, I said, you are like Charles Barkley. You will say anything. You're not afraid. So him going at it with Norman's dad, I do remember that now that you brought it up. It's like, he'll do that.
Well, so he gets the Boca Chica fight and didn't look good in that fight. And it was kind of like Top Rank kind of threw their hands up and like, all right, let's put him against our other undefeated guy who they were really pushing, Giovanni Santillan. And he goes out there and destroys him like we had never seen. I mean, incredible, incredible display, the confidence, the power, the combination punching, you name it. He had everything that night. And he's just been an absolute tear since then. It was one of those situations where Top Rank looked around and was like, where the hell has this guy been? Okay, cool. We'll push him now. Because it's really worked out. And now he's stepping into a huge lucrative fight with Devin Haney.
Okay, so the Boca Chica fight, which you were on the call for and he struggled, mm-hmm. Go back and watch it. Wasn't that long ago, guys.
No.
It was March of last year.
Yep.
So that's why I have a lot of pause when it comes to Brian Norman. Like, yeah, a guy can put on an interview and Jin Sasaki. He has knockout power. I am not saying he doesn't. And as we know with knockout punchers, is a lot of stuff happens before the knockout. Proper footwork, maybe a jab. Obviously, usually a jab follows a right hand follows a jab or a left hand. A lot of has to happen right before you knock out a guy like Brian Norman does. I'm not saying he doesn't have the capabilities of outboxing a Devin Haney or just presenting something other than a thunderous knockout punch. But I can't help but think about the Boca Chica performances. I can't help think about some of the other performances as well. And that kind of leads me to think that, like, you know, Haney should be able to pull this off, and if Haney is switched on, and that's the whole thing in this fight. It's such an intriguing fight, and such a, you could talk about it to the blue in the face because it's literally has everything. I'm just that my number one thing with as we're talking about Brian Norman is, what is Brian Norman? Who is Brian Norman? We don't know yet. Is he more closer to the Boca Chica, or is he closer to this thunderous power puncher that we saw against Sasaki?
Well, put it this way also. 2 years ago, he's fighting 8-rounders. Never been 12.
Crazy.
Never been 12. And he's fighting Devin Haney, who's a 12-round fighter. Devin Haney's been 12 countless times against...
I think Devin Haney was fighting 12 rounds out of the womb.
Yeah, world-class opposition fighting 12 rounds. And Devin Haney's conditioning is premier. Premier. So you got to keep that in mind as well. Yes, the Boca Chica fight was not that long ago. Yes, he was fighting 8-rounders not that long ago. No, he has never fought 12 rounds.
Yeah, I didn't even kind of realize that he was fighting 8-rounders so recently as 2023. And Haney has been in there with countless champs. I know you can go and pick apart resumes as well, but Haney has fought on all comers. And we talk about Benavidez under a microscope. Good Lord. Devin Haney, I believe, is the number one lightning rod in all of boxing. I mean, everyone has an opinion on this guy. Everyone has an opinion on his dad. The Ryan Garcia fight just put everything into the forefront. The getting knocked down numerous times, suing Ryan Garcia, getting the loss expunged off of his record. People just don't like this kid, despite him being a good, decent guy and never getting really in much trouble and taking on all comers and, you know, fighting Lomachenko, Kambosos, Joseph Diaz, Linares, Gamboa, you know, it just goes on and on. He was just given a lot of money at a young age, which, you know, any kid would take that. Signed with DAZN and Matchroom and was given a shit ton of money, probably more than he deserved at the time. But once again, we're all going to take that at the time. And then is kind of chasing that and is not a real knockout guy. And everyone's infatuated with knockouts in boxing. And then he goes and fights Jose Ramirez in his last fight in May, coming off of the Ryan Garcia debacle. And he's on his bike. I mean, we've all seen it. I was personally offended by it. I just couldn't believe that was what he was going to do after the Ryan fight. And we talked about this ad nauseum, why he did that, which I believe was a way to keep the gravy train rolling without taking too much punishment, getting paid, and keeping the Ryan Garcia fight intact, which blew up about 10 minutes later when Ryan lost to Rolly. So how is Haney going to fight? Is he going to fight like he did against Ramirez, or is he going to fight like he did against Lomachenko, where you were on the call there and he was in the pocket? He was fighting in the fire at times. He was moving. It just brilliant, I thought.
Yeah, it was. He fought aggressively. He fought on the inside. He fought on the outside. He used his physical size. He used his physicality, which we've never really seen him do. He did have a substantial size advantage on Lomachenko. They fought at 135. Devin was a huge 35-pounder. Lomachenko, not really a 35-pounder. But listen, you use what you got. And he did that night. And I kind of look at that against the Ramirez fight as well. You use what you got. You know, you got feet, you got speed, you got an older champion. The guy can punch. He didn't want to take any risks that night. It was one of those, get the win tonight, look good next time. Well, guess what? It's next time. So he's going to have to go out there and utilize a combination of good lateral movement, a good sharp jab, combination punching, elite conditioning, and he's going to have to get physical at times. He's got to be careful when he's on the inside because that left hook of Brian Norman is legit, like a spring-loaded bomb, and that's a punch that obviously he has trouble with from the Ryan Garcia fight, and he's also been hurt before by Linares, another much smaller guy, but Linares has very good hand speed. But I think Brian Norman actually has underrated hand speed because he has such good timing. So, he's going to have to use some kind of combination of what we saw of really all of his best wins to be successful here. In the, I always think of the Regis Prograis fight, who Regis may have already been shot at the time of that fight, but regardless, it was still very impressive for him to completely dominate a puncher who needs to be set with the jab. Guess what? Brian Norman, you can kind of put him into that a little bit. He's a puncher who needs to be set to launch that power, and he's very good at guys who stand in front of him, but Devin's not going to stand in front of him. So it's going to be a battle of real estate in this fight. Who can get the other guy to fight their fight? Brian Norman's going to need Devin to stand still. Devin's going to need Brian to stand still and be a sitting duck and fight from the outside, you know? So they both kind of need both each other to do the same thing. Very interesting fight. As close to a 50-50 matchup of guys in their primes
dead even.
As we've seen in recent memory.
It's dead. It's a pick 'em fight. It's minus 110.
And rightfully so. Haney, rightfully so.
A few weeks ago, Haney was the underdog, and now a lot of money's coming in on Haney. I wouldn't be shocked to see Haney as the favorite in the next couple of days or leading up to this fight. We're about 48 hours away from the fight as we record this. Such an intriguing fight for all the reasons that you just listed there. It's like Haney can't just dance around. He's not going to win a fight doing that because Norman has a lot more left than Jose Ramirez. And can Norman – he's obviously not Lomachenko. I understand that. And Lomachenko was smaller and didn't have the same pop. But can Norman mimic even a smidge of what Lomachenko did in there in terms of footwork? Everyone looks at Norman as just like this one trick pony, but even in his little workout in the ring, and I really liked what he did in there, is that he looked fast and he was showing off his footwork. I think that was like some mental warfare. So a lot of times these guys go into these workouts during the fight week and they do nothing. They barely even throw a punch. I like what Norman did. He went in there and was like, look at my footwork, look at my speed. I'm more than just the one trick pony. And I think Haney's been watching everything. What did you make of Haney kind of like dancing up at their first weigh-in, because everyone has an opinion on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. I usually look at a guy like that it's a little bit of their nerves and anxiety coming to the surface, which isn't a bad thing. You know, you should have anxiety going into a big fight. I think anxiety makes you sharp. I think if you're not nervous, you're asleep. You know, you're your sympathetic nervous system should be firing. It's a little early. You want to control that. But listen, I never worry about Devin Haney as a guy who's going to blow his load and not have his gas tank. So if he's being extra, you know, jittery and moving, you know, prior to a fight, I'm not that concerned about it. And you can take what you will, because you can have a guy, you be like, he looks terrified, and he goes out there and fights his ass off and wins easily. So it's really, you know, all these people who are trying to hyper focus on body language experts, which is bullshit.
It's fun as hell, though.
It is. It's talking points.
I put out a tweet, bro. It has 200 replies. I put it out maybe 2 hours ago. All right, I said body language experts weigh in, and I was almost half kidding. And people are writing paragraphs.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure everyone's a goddamn scientist on Twitter.
Even Richardson Hitchens. I'm changing my pick. He said,
"Him at least, you know, he's a fighter, and he actually knows these guys. So like him, I would understand. I would take what he's saying with a lot more respect than some random pillow warrior or couch warrior."
Twitter fingers
trolls. with greasy KFC fingers trying to tell me, you know, this fighter is scared.
Oh God, I hate that. Oh yeah, this guy True Gordy, some big fucking giant UK content creator, called Devin Haney a coward.
Amazing.
Pissed me off, bro. I was amazing. In Target shopping, saw it, quote tweeted it, got like a shit ton he blocked me because of it.
Wow.
Because he shut his replies off.
He's a sensitive, huh? Sensitive one, huh?
I was like, bro, how are you going to call a boxer a coward and then shut your replies off? Here's my thing. You criticize a fighter all you want. Criticize Haney for the way he fights. Criticize, you know, a game plan. You guys are not cowards. Boxers are the complete opposite of cowards. You don't throw the C word around.
No.
You're going to hear from me on Twitter.
No. No. If you do not respect someone who walks through those ropes and fights for their life, each and every time.
People are dying in here.
You're like, a piece of trash. Shit. Yeah.
I would piss me off. That guy should. I know he's. I don't know anything much about him. I know that he just sends out ridiculous videos. I kind of fell into his trap. But to the betting odds, like we said, it's a pick 'em fight minus 110 for Norman and Haney. I expect Haney to become the favorite, and maybe even now if I refresh. Norman by stoppage, which I think. There are a large portion of people out there that want to see that. There's a large portion of people out there that believe that's the case. Plus 250. Put your money where your mouth is. I want to see those bet slips. Everyone that's been talking shit about Devin Haney, and I'm coming off as a Devin Haney sympathizer here. I'm not. Plus 250 for Norman to stop Haney. Norman by decision, plus 280. Haney by stoppage, which he hasn't got a stoppage in like 1,200 days. That's not an exaggeration. It's plus 850. Haney by decision, plus 125. So those are the odds. It's a very interesting fight. And with that being said, it's time for Chris Algieri's categories for Devin Haney versus Brian Norman. We'll start off with power.
Brian Norman, no question. Yeah, I think that's a pretty obvious one. The guy's got a vicious left hook, sets up his power punches. Great, great counterpuncher, punches in the middle with you. Sets up his shots really well, has an excellent base, delivers that power. Physically strong guy, no question. Brian Norman, power.
Speed. Can't handle your speed, son.
Pretty easy one there, too, as well. Devin Haney, foot speed, hand speed, lateral movement, you name it, he's got it. And again, I'm going to always bring up the elite conditioning. The kid has a great gas tank. 12-round fights, a world-class guy, he's fought at a high clip. Speed, Devin Haney.
Ring IQ.
I'm going to go with Devin Haney because of the better competition. You know, I'm not saying that Brian Norman does not have a high IQ. I think he does. I think he's very smart in the way he sets guys up and lands his power shots. But when you look at his list of competition and his age, it just does not compare at all to Devin Haney. This guy spent 12 rounds with Lomachenko. You walk out of a fight with – you walk out of 12 rounds with Lomachenko with a PhD. I don't care who you are. Yeah. Boxing IQ goes to Devin Haney.
And then defense chin.
Defense chin, I'm going Brian Norman. Physically strong guy, great balance. You know, we've seen Devin Haney get rocked by Linares, much smaller guy. We've seen him get dropped multiple times by Ryan Garcia, who obviously is a great left hook and didn't make weight that day either, and potentially was on PEDs that night. But regardless, we've seen Devin get hurt. We've never really seen Brian get hurt, especially anything serious. And I think his defense is actually pretty good. I think his hand position is really good. I think his balance is excellent. His judge of range is good. So defense/chin, I'm going with Brian Norman.
All right, it's time for our predictions for the People's Main Event. I'll go first. I think you know where I'm headed here if you listen to the first part of this segment. I like Brian Norman a lot. I think if he wins, he really has potential to be a star in the sport. But I do think he's a little limited. I do think it's a little too much too soon for him. I don't think he could outbox Devin Haney, and I don't think he's going to catch him. Devin Haney is going to win a decision. And he's going to be a hybrid. He's going to be somewhere in between the Ramirez track star and the Lomachenko picking his moments. He has to do that or else he's not going to win. I think Haney wins the decision. It wins back a lot of respect from boxing fans. He becomes a champion at 147, a third weight class. Devin Haney by decision.
Hate to do this. Hate to agree with you, Dan, but I got to. I'm also going Devin Haney by decision. I bank on the experience. I bank on the 12 rounds. I bank on the conditioning. And I bank on him being really cautious early on and not getting into positions where he's going to get clipped by the power punching Brian Norman. And I don't know if Brian Norman can put his emotions in check the way that Devin can. I think Devin learned a lot from that Ryan Garcia fight. But also with something that never gets mentioned, the toughness that Devin showed in the Ryan Garcia fight,
getting up every time
and actually on the scorecard. And actually it was a close fight because Ryan did not do much in between knockdowns. He was getting outworked. He got rocked himself early on. Devin has a lot of heart, and you combine the heart with the conditioning and the skill over 12 rounds. He's a tough guy to beat. And I think that Brian Norman has a fantastic future. I'm a big fan of what I've seen for him so far, but I agree with you. I think in terms of where he's at right now, I lean Devin Haney. As much as this is a pick'em fight, I think experience really weighs on this fight. And I'm going Devin Haney by decision.
There you have it. Four title fights. Should be an excellent, excellent afternoon, morning, night, wherever you'll be watching. I'm debating on going live and having some guests tune in. I'm not going to ask you, Chris. Maybe you'll join us from your pool. I know it's been a long months of on the movie set. I don't know. I will keep you guys posted on that. Last question. Which fighter will steal the show at Ring 4? Abdullah Mason? Could it be Bam Rodriguez? Pound for pound great? Could it be David Benavidez making his case at 175? Could it be Brian Norman saying, hey, I'm the new star in boxing? Or could it be Devin Haney saying, guess what, guys? I'm here to stay.
I mean, all of them have the potential to do that. But based on my picks, I think it's Abdullah Mason. Because I think him entering the world, the door, the room of being a world champion, and especially if he does it in a spectacular fashion, on that kind of platform, it would be huge. That would be the entrance of Abdullah Mason into world-renowned status. If he is to go out there and do what I expect him to do. Because with Bam, look at the betting lines. It's expected. With Benavidez and Yard, again, kind of look at the betting lines. It's pretty expected for him to win and even by stoppage. And with Devin Haney and Brian, it's such a good pick-em fight. Like, either guy who wins, you're like, yeah, that's awesome. But like, cool. I mean, it might have been able to go the other way. You know, like, this is the close fight, and it's these guys are taking real risks. But I think Abdullah is going to be the most surprising and be able to steal the show.
Yeah, I do agree with you there. I think Abdullah, if he gets a spectacular knockout and becomes a world champion, people are going to go crazy. But the Haney Norman, either way, however this fight ends, is going to be nuts. Twitter is going to be insane. Boxing world, there's a lot of ramifications. Like I said, Haney wins, Ryan Garcia rematch if Ryan beats Barrios, which apparently is on February 21st. Norman wins, and we have ourselves a fun champ who can get on the mic and a breath of fresh air for some. It's going to be an awesome, awesome fight card. Hope everyone enjoys it. Hope you enjoyed our picks and all of that. Any final words, Chris, the Fighting Collegian, Algeria?
No, just make sure you guys tune in, and because this is an awesome card, and this is the lifeblood of the sport. We need people to watch these cards, and tune in for us and our follow-ups and us talking about this stuff.
Probably Sunday or Monday, we will have our full reaction to the Ring 4. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs. Enjoy the fights.